partaker. I do believe more and more I'm convinced that the Lord Jesus could come back any moment. I mean, it's just inevitable. Did you hear about the man, Walter Williams? Did y'all hear about that man? 78 years old from Mississippi. Last Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, the coroner said he was dead. He pronounced him dead. They took his body over to the funeral home, put it in a body bag, getting ready to embalm him. And about the time they're fixing to embalm this man, he starts kicking in the body bag and comes back to life. Don't you know those funeral directors were looking for a door somewhere? My, what an experience for to come back to life in a body bag. I tell you, it ain't over till it's over. You know, I'll tell you, I was reminded of Jesus. He was placed in not a body bag, but in a tomb. But he refused to stay dead. I'm telling you, our Lord, he kicked those grave clothes off and came up out of the grave. And thank God, as I stand around so many bedsides here lately watching people take their last breath, I'll say hallelujah. Praise the Lamb, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, sometimes we forget who's in charge. God's in charge. How many believe that God's in charge? Man's not in charge. God's in charge. And that reminds me, speaking of being in charge, about a lady who was in charge of giving some fried chicken at this great event. It was a big event, a community-wide thing. And this lady was putting chicken, she was told and instructed, put one piece of chicken on every plate. No more than one. Well, one man came to the line. She put a piece of chicken on his plate, a fried chicken. He said, as he looked at her, "I'd like two pieces." She said, "One piece." He said, "I want two pieces." She said, one piece. He looked at her and said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" He said, "You must not know who I am. I am the governor of New York." And she looked at him and said, "Sir, you must not know who I am. I'm in charge of the chicken. Now take one piece and go sit down." Sometimes we forget who's in charge. I want you to know God's in charge. Thanks be to his name. You can trust him today. I'm telling you, whatever you're going through today, I know our God cares about us. I know he said he'd always be with us. And by the way, he's in charge of every, not only salvation, he's in charge of every situation. And he's in charge, yea, of our final destination. He's in charge of salvation. Paul put it this way: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's in charge of every salvation. He's in charge of every situation. Doesn't that bring you security? Doesn't that bring you confidence today to know? Listen to me. There's not one single thing that can happen to me or a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God that God does not allow and permit. Isn't that good news today? I said, isn't that good news today to know my hand and my life is in the Master's hand? Well, he's not only in charge of salvation and situation. He's in charge of our destination. And I believe indeed the best is yet to come. Speaking of the Lord coming, I want to preach on the subject, a fight to the finish. A fight, that's the title, a fight to the finish. How many have been hearing about the news, Ukraine and Russia, as we speak? I was up all night long, got up about 2 o'clock this morning, got about an hour sleep and was up all night. I couldn't go to sleep. I just was tossing and turning and got up and began to pray and began to seek the Lord. And I could hardly wait for church this morning at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And I want to tell you, as I caught a glimpse of the news, I saw again that Russia, President Putin, has already declared war in Ukraine. I'm telling you, it's later than it's ever been before. Where in the world is Ukraine when it comes to Bible prophecy? Jesus, I believe, indeed, is setting the stage right now. I'm glad the Word of God lets us know where we're at this moment. And here's where we're going in the message. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There are four questions that you need to answer And I need to answer today. And then four actions, not only answers, but actions. We've looked at this text before, but for some reason or another, the Holy Ghost of God led me to get back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you would, please stand as we read the wonderful word of God together in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And you remember now, beloved, as you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there are four questions that I want to ask in the message today. Here they are. Number one, are you ready for Jesus to come again? Are you ready for Jesus to come again? Number two, does it seem like the devil is trying to take over again? Does it seem like the devil is trying to take over again? That's going to be found in verse 4. The first question is found in verses 1 through 3. But then we're going to see number 3. Aren't you glad that the church, the battle the church is winning, will soon be over? It'll soon be over. We'll see that in a moment in verse 5 and 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. But then the last question that I want to ask you today, and I want you to answer and then respond an action to it, is this, number 4. And it's this: don't you think it's about time that we start speaking the truth to those who are listening to the lies of the devil? We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But remind you before we dive into the text, Paul has already written to the church of Thessalonica. And in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, the Lord is coming back. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us that remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he goes a little further in the subject. All I'm doing is giving you a little background as we launch into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You remember in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, but at the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And then we come to the 2 Thessalonians, rather. And in chapter 1, he said that Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God nor obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in verse 7 and verse 8 of chapter 1. We come to chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. If you're there, would you say amen? I beseech you, brethren, he says, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken. Underline that word, shaken. In mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by a letter from us at the day of Christ is at hand. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Pay attention to verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The day of Christ, verse number 2. That day, look at verse 3. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, nor that is worshipped, so that he... as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember verse 5, you're not, Paul said, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that is restraineth, that he might be revealed in his time. The mystery, for the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, doth already work. It was working in Paul's day, it's working in our day. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause shall God send them a strong delusion, and that they working of error, that they may should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, you'll give us an audience with you today, and you'll get glory and honor. You'll change every heart in here today, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Four questions I'm going to ask you today that you need to answer today. Number one, are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Are you really ready for Jesus to come back again? And then number two, not only that, but does it seem like the devil is trying to take over again? That's found in verse four. And then we'll progress through these four questions. By the way, those of you that keep good notes, you'll note that I preached on this text at least three times over the last 10 years. But I want you to know, God's given me a fresh word this week. I saw something, discovered something, never discovered it before. And when God shows me something, I want to show it to you. I want to share it with you. And I believe you'll be blessed today. Number one, are you ready for Jesus to come again? Notice the text again. And here are two truths that transform. Two truths that transform. Number one is this. The devil wants you to know. The devil wants you to, he wants to keep you disturbed. He wants to keep you shaken. He wants to keep you shaken up and disturbed, because he knows you'll be ineffective as a Christian, your testimony and your life. Look at the verse number one. Let's just go through it. Verses 1-3. Are you ready for Jesus to come again? Number one, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Paul says, I'm urging you. The word beseech means I urge you. I urge you, brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word coming there is the word parousia. That is, the Lord said, I'm coming one day. And watch this now. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be not soon shaken, and are gathered together unto him. Watch this now. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, that you be not soon shaken. I gather together him. You be not soon shaken. You see that word shaken? That word means to be agitated. Can I ask you a personal question? How many of you are agitated today? How many of you are feeling frustrated today? I dare say if we raised our hand after hand after hand would say, Pastor, you don't know what I have to go through in my job. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through in my family. Brother Randy, you don't understand all the financial debt that I'm in. You don't understand the stress and the pressure and the temptations that I'm going through. See, the devil knows if he can keep us disturbed, if he can keep us agitated, then he makes our witness, yea, our testimony, ineffective for our Lord. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, are gathered together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or trouble. See that word trouble? Keep reading with me now. In mind or trouble. That word trouble means not only agitated, but shaken and disturbed, that you be not disturbed. I believe the truth be known, we've been disturbed this week. I don't know about y'all, but it seems like these days there is these forces of evil. The world, the flesh, is the devil, is busily about trying to get us to be disengaged from our Lord. And some of you have been facing it, haven't you? And some of us have been facing it, haven't we? And some of us need to get somebody to pray with us today. We need a breakthrough. You feel like God is distant. You feel like you're not close to God anymore. When you talk to God, it's like you're talking to the wall. I'm telling you, the devil understands that if he can get us disconnected from the Father in communion and fellowship and in conversation to our blessed Lord, he knows we will get discouraged. He knows that we will be disturbed and be agitated by the world and by the news. We're bombarded all the time, information overload. Bottom line is this: are you ready for the coming of the Son of God? Speaking of being disturbed, did you hear about that dear lady that locked her keys in her car? How many have ever locked your keys in your car? Somebody the other day locked their keys in the car. They were out in the parking lot. Had to call the sheriff department to get Slim Jim or whatever they call it. Get that thing out of the car and unlock the door. Heard about a lady that got her keys locked in the door. She said, well, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, Lord, please, will you send somebody my way that'll help me get my keys out of my car? About that time, an old dilapidated car came rumbling up and stopped right beside her. A man got out. He looked a little rough. He looked rough on the edges, and And he said to her, he said, ma'am, what's the problem? She said, I've locked my keys in my car. Can you help me? He said, yes, I think I can. He reached back in his back seat. He pulled out one of those tools, and he just went to work on it. In about a minute or two, he had that key out of that ignition and unlocked the door. That dear lady said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You answered my prayer. Thank you, Lord. And she gave that man a big old bear hug and said, thank you, Lord, for sending such a nice man, a man that's so helpful to help me get my keys out. He stopped. He said, man, you don't understand. I'm not a nice man. I just got out of jail. I just left the jail cell. She said, well, hallelujah, Lord. It's a bigger miracle than I thought. You got my keys out, even if you had to send the thief to help me get it out. The devil knows how to get us discouraged. The devil knows how to get us agitated. Are you agitated? The stuff in your health you can't fix. You wish you could get better. You wish you weren't hurting like that anymore. You wish you could take some kind of medicine. You wish that something could be done about it. Now you're in a state of frustration, a state of agitation. Am I preaching to anybody today? I believe I am. And so the devil knows that he can get us disturbed and shaken, then he's got us. But wait a minute. On the other hand, praise God, listen to me. The Lord knows, God knows that if he can get you and me ready for Jesus to come again, that we become more effective as a child of God. I said, if you are ready for the coming of the Lord, you will become more effective as a child of God. The fact is, some of us aren't really watching. Some of us aren't really waiting. Some of us aren't really wondering if today could be the day. In the light of Jesus coming again, it causes us to evaluate our life. It causes us to say, I wonder if my neighbor's saved. I wonder if my loved ones, if Christ came back today, I wonder where they'd spend eternity. I'm telling you, if you are a Bible believer, a Christian, and you really want the Lord to come back again, it will change your testimony, make you more effective as a Christian. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, what's going on with Russia invading Ukraine? I'm telling you. You say, but where's that found in Bible prophecy? I don't know, but I want to tell you this. I don't understand it all, but I do believe this. As I was seeking the Lord in the wee hours at 3 o'clock this morning and 4 o'clock, I said, God, I just believe there's some things happening right now today, and it's setting the stage for history. You got to admit, this thing is setting the stage for history. I don't understand it, but I do know this. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and 39, you can make and mark, rest assured, Russia will invade Israel from the north. Many Bible scholars, by the way, include in that crowd Ukraine. And there's the Ukraine. Half of them are siding with the EU, European Union. That, of course, according to many Bible scholars, will be the headquarters for the Antichrist. This is such a strategic place right now. What's going on? This coalition of nations will indeed invade Israel from the north. And you can see it's just as crystal clear, with Iran is included in that number, and Syria is included. I don't have to tell you what's going on in Syria today, do I? They're still in a civil war. Thousands and thousands have been killed. And by the way, I don't know how y'all feel, but let me just go ahead and tell you how I feel. Can I go ahead and tell you how I feel? Well, somebody said we as a nation, once upon a time, were leading the way. It seemed like we're trying to lead the way, but in the back. We're leading from the back. I don't think we're really leading from the back. Somebody said the problem with what's happening today in America, and we're seeing it firsthand, is America is not leading the way. America's not even leading from behind. America's getting left behind. I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God, an American. I thank God for our country and people who fought for our country. But do you think that bothered the president over at Russia for our president to call him and talk with him yesterday for 90 minutes on the phone? You think he's going to change his mind? You think, well, I don't need to labor the point other than saying this. We need to get a hold of God. I've been saying it for years, beloved. You know you've been saying it for years, that we are reaping what we've sown. America is reaping what we've sown. And God's judgment is going to come. I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I'm just a Bible believer. believer that, listen, it's not all right when you sin and disobey God and rebel against God. There's a consequence to sin. Can I get somebody to say amen? And it's inevitable, and that's why we need to really fast and pray and cry out to God for our children and grandchildren, that God will set a fire in them, that God will turn them loose, that the Lord will raise up some godly young men and some godly young women. This casual Christianity, this status quo, a discipleship, isn't getting the job done. I know God's got a remnant, but wait a minute. We are in trouble. I think all this is a sign at the time Jesus is coming again. And Jesus said it this way through his servant Paul. You can mark it down. I believe the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 followed. Here's what God said through Paul to Timothy. Know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, incontinent, traitors, heady, high-minded. Watch this. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We are right there, my brother. We're right there, my sister. We are not lacking for religion in America. We are lacking for the real deal in America. Religion is not the answer. Relationship with Jesus the answer. And you must be born again. It's time we, the blood-washed church, say there's a right way and there's a wrong way, and Jesus is the only way. That's absolutely what the scripture teaches. But watch. And so we're seeing all of this unfold before our very eyes. I don't know when this is going to occur. Some believe and some teach. Again, up at 2 o'clock this morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, pouring over, God, show me something. I want you to speak to my heart. I don't claim to understand all that's going on, but I'm telling you this. Sure as we're standing here and sitting here today, history is in the making. You say, Pastor, this has been going on for years. Well, I want you to know the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. And whether it's now or whether it's in the future, the Word of God has been fulfilled in the past, it is being fulfilled in the present, and it will be fulfilled in the future. You can rest assured your life that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. So, number one, what is going on and what's going to be the end result? I don't claim I understand it all, but I know this. You need to keep your eye on Israel. I know this. These coalition of nations, again, Syria, Egypt. By the way, Egypt is just inaugurating a new president, a new government in Egypt. And not only that, but Russia, Ukraine, Turkey. Turkey, I discovered the other day, and Lord willing, hope to go there in just a few weeks, 7 weeks. Turkey is 98% Muslim. 98% Muslim. Well, they're included in this coalition of nations. Turkey, and then Afghanistan. You know what's going on in Afghanistan? Our boys and girls, yea, our servicemen and women, been fighting, pouring their blood out for this seemingly battle that, I don't know, you can call it what you want to call it. Afghanistan is listed in that coalition of nations, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia, and then Libya. I'm telling you, these things are important to me. Are you ready for Jesus to come back again? Are you ready? I tell you what, this is a day and a time when we need to get sober, we need to get serious, and we need to start looking up because our redemption draws nigh. Whether the Lord comes back in glory or not, we need to be telling the good news. That's the message. That's what God wants us to do. Love Him, serve Him, obey Him, and while there's time, make a difference. Amen and amen and amen. Number two, the second question is this. It's found in verse number 4. Not only are you ready for Jesus to come again, but number two, does it seem like the devil is trying to take over again? Look at verse 4. But wait a minute, I want you back up for verse 3. I want to share with you what the Lord showed me this week. And I'm learning like you are. Praise God, we're in this boat together. We're all students of the Bible. Look at verse 3. He said, for that day shall not come except there first come what? A falling away. Then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God. So he's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Watch this. That day shall not come. What day? The day of Christ, when Christ comes again. He's not talking about the rapture, mind you. We looked at it a few weeks ago. How many remember the message? When the blood turns, when the moon turns blood red. Were you here that day? We talked about the day of the Lord. I want you to get this, child of God, children of God. It's going to give us a platform of opportunity when we talk with our family, when we get together with our family to tell them this is what the Word of God says. And so what am I saying? The day of the Lord is not the rapture. Rather, the day of the Lord is after the rapture. And we could labor that, but simply we'll just point that out. Now watch this. This is what the Lord showed me. That day shall not come except there first come a what? Falling away. That word is apostasia. Let's say it together. Apostasia. Say it again. Apostasia. And this is what the Lord showed me. For years, I've always seen that verse as a verse that describes, as it's translated in your Bible, in my Bible, a falling away, apostasia. Two words, you bring them together, apostasia. Apostasia. And this means a drawing away. It means a departing. Now wait a minute. If you were to check out your Bible, you'd find out this. This is what the Lord showed me, and I'm not a know-it-all, and if you disagree, that's fine. But do you realize the Wycliffe Bible printed in 1384? The Wycliffe Bible in 1384. Guess how they translate that word, falling away? They translate the word, as many Greek scholars do, a departure. Except there first come a departure. Then, not only the Wycliffe Bible, but what about the Tyndale Bible, 1526? In 1526, the Tyndale Bible, before the King James, 1611, translated that word, before it, there's coming a falling away. That word, departure. All right? And then, not only that, the Tyndale and the Wycliffe, and then there's the Coverdale Bible in 1536 is also a translation of departure. And if you trace history further, you'd find out, I'm not saying the Bible's got errors, if you're wondering. I'm just saying this word has a true intentional meaning that's very powerful. Now listen to me. Jerome, in the year 400 A.D., translated the scriptures into Latin, and we call that the Vulgate. Let's say that together. Vulgate. You're getting a history lesson, all right, this morning. In 400 A.D., that word was translated, except there first come a falling away. That is, except there first come a departure. The word falling away, apostasia, can mean and does mean departure as well. Now, in the year, the Geneva Bible, by the way, 1608, Geneva Bible in 1608, they also, the translators, translated that word falling away as in departure. And if you look and follow a Greek scholar such as Kenneth Wiest, who is a Greek scholar, he indeed, I'm not talking about the 1600s, I'm talking about present day, and interprets that scripture falling away to mean a departure. And others I could say, but won't labor that point, other than saying this, here's what the Lord seemed to show to me. I've never seen it before. I've always viewed that scripture as a falling away, a spiritual apostasy. And as F.F. Bruce says, a political and religious falling away. But if you really read it in the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in the light of Jesus coming, that word departure can indeed mean the rapture. Except there first come a departure. Except there first come a rapture. Then the man of sin will be revealed. Then the man of sin will be revealed. Now, I do believe as well that we are certainly living in days, as I just mentioned a moment ago, where we're falling away from the truth. But this word indeed can also mean departure as in rapture. It's consistent with other scriptures in the Bible. All right, having said that, I hope you're not confused as mud, but anyway, now, number two, the second question that you need to ask and answer today, and it's this. Does it seem like the devil is trying to take over? Does it seem like the devil is trying to take over? And notice with me in verse number four, and then verses 8 and 10, etc. He said in verse 4, And look back up to verse 3. For that day shall not come except there first come a falling away, the rapture, the snatching away. Then the man of sin will be revealed. Whether you translate that departure or not, the fact is the rapture is going to take place first and then the man of sin is going to be revealed. How many believe that? Well, it's the truth. You can check out the scripture. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Revelation chapter 13, and on and on and on. And as Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24. You see, God's people need to study the Word and then to be able to rightly divide the Word of God with our families, with our friends. And then in particular, this can be an opportunity. What's going on in our world with Ukraine, with Russia? What in the world is God up to? I'm telling you, this is where we're heading. This is what God's Word says. You can stand on it and take it to the bank. Doesn't it seem like the devil's trying to take over? He's taken over, and there are three ways mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Three ways. You hope you care about this. And they're found. These are the words. First, in verse 7, lawlessness. Look at verse 7. For the mystery, are you looking at verse 7? The mystery of iniquity that's already worked. The mystery of iniquity. The word iniquity is the word lawlessness. How many read the Monticello newspaper? Let me see your hand. Do you ever pick up the Monticello newspaper any given week and not see that somebody's stolen something somewhere? Somebody stole a four-wheeler. Somebody stole an air conditioner. Somebody robbed somebody. I mean, lawlessness. You turn the news on. Every time you turn to the news, somebody's killing somebody. Somebody's robbing somebody. Somebody's doing this and that. Lawlessness. And that's what Paul the Apostle is saying, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only now he who let will let until it be taken out of the way. Well, the lawlessness, number one, but look how else lying. The characteristic will be marked by lawlessness and lying. Keep reading now. Keep following with me. Verse 7. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only now he who let it will let until it be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming after the working of Satan with all deceivableness. And look at what he says about this. With all deceivableness. And look over here in verse 9. Even him who's coming after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. This world, your community, is marked by lawlessness, lying, and a lack of love for the Lord. I've never seen a time. How about y'all? Some of you old timers that are older than I am, got a little bit more miles on the road. Have you ever seen a time when there's so little love for the Lord? Not lip service, but life commitment. Have you ever seen a time? I was out yesterday knocking on doors and meeting, talking to folks, and met a young couple. You can throw a rock to where they live off of Highway 11, a new neighborhood down there, or a couple of houses rather. Anyway, young couple, 23 years old, 22 years old, not married, living together, just, you know, shacking up, as we'd say. How many believe that you still ought to get married? Can I get a witness? I don't care what the world says about it. I don't know what God says about it. I'm not being legalistic. I'm not being hate monger. I'm just telling you. Anyway, I love this young couple I met. I'm praying they'll come to church. I invited them to come to church. And I encouraged them to get married. And as a matter of fact, I took a step further. I said, hey, if I can help you, I'll be glad to. I'll meet with you. I'll talk with you. I'll do anything to help you. But listen, my goal, my heartbeat is that our community, we give them the truth of the gospel. Because I'm convinced, beloved, nothing else can help our world like Jesus can. Jesus can help them. And if we can get them to Jesus, and whatever it takes, get them to Jesus. Lying, lack of love for the Lord, and lawlessness. Did you hear about the atheist that said there was no God? Have you know anybody that's an atheist? We got them around here, by the way. We got atheists around here. You wouldn't believe it. I can tell you, one that lives back here and one lives right over there, unless he got saved, right in our neighborhood. People who said they don't believe in God. Did you hear about the man that said he didn't believe in God? He said to this little boy, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. No, he said to the little boy, he took it a step further. The little boy said, I do believe there's a God. The man said to the little boy, he said, if you can prove to me there's a God, I'll give you an apple. I'll give you an apple. boy said, if you can prove to me there's not a God, I'll give you two apples. That's about the size of it. Give you two apples. Hey, look, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. You see, the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. You get the heart fixed and the head will come with it. You see, God's not impressed if you say there's not a God. I know there's a God. Paul said creation declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth its handiwork. And that's why the psalmist said that the earth is the Lord's. How many believe you can look out in creation and see there's a God? It doesn't matter if the people are in the darkest, remotest jungles of Africa. They can look up and see the sun. They can see the stars. They can see the trees. They can see the animals. They know somehow or another this had to come into being. There must be a designer. This thing didn't just happen. Big Bang Theory. No, on the contrary. There is a creator, designer behind what we're seeing. Matter of fact, Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 1. He said the invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, even his eternal Godhead. So they're without excuse. Romans chapter 1 verses 20 and 21. And then he said this. This is the problem. You know what the problem is? It's not that they really don't think there's a God. It's that they just don't want God. He says further, he said, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither indeed were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became as fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them over to uncleanness, to the lust of the flesh, they might dishonor their bodies between themselves. It's right there in Romans chapter 1. You can trace that progression, what Paul's saying as a defending attorney, by the way. He said, here is the realization, the creation, the deception, and here is what God is saying about himself. Well, I need to labor. I need to go on. There's a third question you got to ask and answer today, found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Number one, are you ready for Jesus to come again? Verses 1 through 3. Secondly, does it seem like the devil is trying to take over again? I say again because you remember in the garden, he deceived Eve and then Adam, and they took the fruit and sin came into the world. Does it seem like all hell is breaking loose now? It sure does to me. It sure does to me. I think the devil knows his time is short, right? Do you agree with me? The devil knows his time is short. And brother and sister, listen, we are on borrowed time and we had better be about the master's business. One day we're going to stand before it. How many believe it? We're going to stand before Jesus one day. It's not going to be too long. Some of our dearest people, I was thinking about it just about every day. I was thinking about this time last year. Brother Sonny Prince passed away. Had his homegoing service the 1st of March. Who would have thought it? Since that time, we've had several of our precious people to go on to be with the Lord. I mean, it's just amazing to me of how many people that God, we can look around in the crowd and see a lot of our dear friends have gone on to be with Jesus. It's going to happen, isn't it, Brother John? Your mom just went to be with the Lord, even though she was 93 years old. Bernice McGee just passed away in August. David, your son, John, in September, if I'm not mistaken, Jenny Mason, went to be with the Lord in October, and then Jim Ford and Virginia Larman, and do I need to keep going on? Lynn Hutchins' dad, Randy Hutchins, had his funeral here. Josh Cooper, I mean, the list goes on. Now, Tyler, yeah, I mean, all we're saying is this. This is not a morbid thought. It's a real thought. It's a sobering thought that our life is but a vapor and we had better make the best of it. Can I get an amen? Will you make the best of it today? I love you and I like to urge you on. I like to encourage you on because I know. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm with somebody and they're passing away. There's a third question comes from the text and it's this. It's this, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? The battle the church is winning will soon be over. Aren't you glad the battle the church is winning? Notice I said the church is winning. How many believe we're on the winning team? Yes, we are. We're not losing, friend. We're winning. I've read the book. I've read the last page. We are going to win. Jesus has won. Thanks be to God. And we can say, bless His holy name. We're on the winning team. Notice what he says in verse number 5. Paul says, now he that lets, remember you not. Pay attention to this now, verse 5. Remember you not when I was yet with you. Look at this. Remember you not when I was yet with you. I told you these things. And now look at verse 6. And now you know what? Underline that word, circle that word. And now you know what? You got to see it now. And now, if you miss that what, you've missed what I'm fixing to say. And now you know what? Does your Bible say what? How many's Bible says what? Let me see your hand. Good. And now you know what? Well, who's the what? And what's the what? It's the Holy Ghost of God through the church of the living God. And now you know what restraineth. And now you know it withholdeth. Look at this. The word withholdeth in verse 6 means restrain. And now you know the Holy Ghost of God in the church. Now you know what withholdeth. Look at this. And now you know what withholdeth in verse number 6. That now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who is the he? He might be revealed in his time. Who's he talking about? Verse 4 says, he says, look at it. Verse 3, he said, know this, that there first come a falling away, and then the man of sin will be revealed. He's going further from the rapture in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians 4. He's going further into the day of the Lord, but now he's going to talk about this Antichrist. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. I believe this personally myself. Now, if you disagree, that's fine. I believe it's a reference to the Holy Ghost of God and the church of the living God, that right now we are salt, we are light in a dark world, and one day when Christ comes with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and splits those eastern skies, one day there's going to be a great getting up morning. The dead are going to rise first, and then those of us, it could happen today, we're going to be snatched up out of this old world, and then, the restraining grace of God, which now keeps the devil and the Antichrist at bay. It's us, the blood-bought, blood-washed church. But when we're taken out of the way, it's going to open the door for the Antichrist to move in. Make that, confirm that covenant. In Daniel chapter 9, he shall confirm. That word confirm means strengthen. Gibar is the Hebrew word. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. In the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease, the overspreading of the abomination, even unto the desolate, and that to be determined to be poured out upon the desolate. Jesus talked about that abomination of desolation, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 15. Listen to me. So the battle is being won. What battle, brother? Number one, the battle over the devil and demons. Bless his holy name. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name. I'll tell you what, man, I was under a satanic attack last night. Does the devil ever get after y'all? I'm telling you, the devil's gotten after me. I know when the enemy's not happy with me, and I know when the enemy's just, man, he's just a roaring lion. And I'll tell you, I need you to pray for me. I'm serious. I need you to pray for me. Anytime you begin to expose the work of the devil, you can expect he's going to come after you. But I've got news for the devil and all of his emissaries. Jesus has a way of defeating them through the blood of the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory. And by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death, we can say in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, Satan, get from me, get behind me. Last night, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, come, Lord, send these demon spirits. You know what the devil will do? He'll start bombarding your mind. I'm not talking about jerking you up out of the bed and throwing you out the window. I'm talking about starting bombarding your mind. He'll start getting you all confused and get you where you can't even hardly think straight. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We've got to say, Satan, get behind me. There's some mamas and daddies. There's some husbands and wives in the house of God today that we need to take a stand against the enemy and say, devil, you tried to hinder us and hamper us, and you tried to threaten us, and Satan, it's time you turn loose of us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. That's what God's wanting us to do. We're in spiritual warfare, friend. Then make no mistake about it. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle over demons, the battle over death. Can I tell you what happened? Up at the hospital. One day, this soul life is going to be over for you and me. How many believe we're going to have a new body one day? Whew. Won't that be wonderful? Man, I get to thinking about that, a new body. A new body, Brother Phil. A new body. A body that's not going to wear out. A body that's not going to need medicine. And you won't need medicine anymore. You won't have any more headaches. You won't have any more backaches. There won't be any more cancer. There won't be any more sinus infections. Can I get somebody to say amen? Glory, glory, glory. I'm telling you, one day we're going to have a new body. And that battle over death is going to be over. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. I love that verse over there in Psalm 116, verse 15. Watch this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Isn't that a good verse? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I don't know if you stood behind or beside a loved one this week, but we're walking out of the hospital, Piedmont Hospital. And there was Tyler. God spoke to my heart. There's walking out. You know what he's dragging behind him? It's got wheels on it, an oxygen tank. How many know what I'm talking about? An oxygen tank on wheels. He's dragging that thing out, rolling it out. His daddy needed it. But wait a minute. His daddy's in glory. He don't need it anymore. He don't need it anymore. And God spoke to my heart about that thing. Praise God. We won't need no oxygen anymore. We're going to have a glorified body. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. A new body. There's a battle right now, isn't there? It's a battle. Did you hear about the old boy that was going to get a job interview at a train station? They said to him, said, sir, what would you do? They was trying to get a control switch station. He said, what would you do if two trains were coming in opposite directions, coming toward each other, and they were going to collide? What would you do? Young man interviewing for the job, he said, I'd push that lever right there and change the tracks. They said, but what if that lever was broke? What would you do? Broken. He said, I'd get that lever over there and change it. He said, what if that lever was broken too? What would you do? He thought for a minute. He said, I'd get on the phone and call somebody. They said, what if the phone was out? He said, I'd run down there to that emergency phone and call on that emergency phone. He said, what if that phone was out too? The old boy said, I'd run the town as fast as I could and I'd go get Uncle Joe. He said, what? You'd go get who? He said, I'd go get Uncle Joe. He said, what are you going to get Uncle Joe for? He said, Uncle Joe ain't never seen a train wreck before. We're heading for a collision. We're heading for a collision. Last but not least, and we'll be done, and it's this. Not only the battle that we're winning, praise God, but don't you think it's about time to speak the truth, tell the truth to those that are listening to lies? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause shall God send them a strong delusion, they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned because they received not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. No need to labor that point. Simply I'll close on this. One, sin separates us. It's a lie. For a person to think they're going to go to heaven with sin in their life. And we're sinners by nature, choice, and birth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from the holy God. There's none righteous and none one. But thank God, the blood of Jesus annihilates sin. Oh yeah, oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. That's the truth. We need to be speaking the truth. We're all sinners. Sin separates us from a holy God. No way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Sin separates us. The blood annihilates sin, and we're forgiven, praise God, and clean, and justified and sanctified and before a holy God. Then that means the saints of God, watch this, when Jesus comes again, should be celebrating. Not shaken, troubled, discouraged, rather anticipating. Today could be the day. Today could be the day. No need to fear, my brother. No need to fear, my sister. No need to be afraid. God's got everything under control. You believe that? Let's stand together.